Good morning. Good to see everyone's smiling face this morning. Sam and me talked in the parking lot out front this morning, and he asked me, he said, "How did you sleep last night?" And I said, "Well, I heard a car alarm go off at 2:30 in the morning. Every hour I woke up, I relived my talk all night long. We're told to be anxious for nothing, but and everything give thanks, but I definitely am anxious this morning. I appreciate the opportunity to come up to Vandalia and speak. It is the first time I've been up here, my wife and me, and we have had a lot of your sons stay in our home. Very good young men. And if you have time next weekend, we invite everyone down to our meeting. And I know Nathan, where are you, Nathan? There you are, okay. I know he's anxious to come down to see me next weekend, so you're welcome, Nathan. The elders have asked me to speak on the subject Mosaic. And I would like to go ahead and read what they'd like, how they'd like me to break it down. Mosaic. This is about finding our gift from God to use in His service. Are we looking for ways to serve our Lord and His church? Or do we see ourselves as an important part of the body of Christ that others depend on? How can we encourage this perspective and help each other use the gifts God has given us to use in His service? Last time I spoke up in this area, there was a red light that would come on if you went over. I think that was clear back in 1980 at the Camp Dodge meeting. And I assure you this morning I won't go over. Mosaic. The definition of mosaic is a picture or pattern produced by arranging together small colored pieces of hard material. That is the definition. A picture or pattern produced by arranging together small colored pieces of hard material. This morning, as I stand before you this morning, if you look at the whole picture, how does someone that's 6'5" fit in that picture? Usually, growing up, I had 7 siblings. I was the tallest one, and I was always in the back of the picture. My mom told me that my great-granddad was 7 foot tall, had a beard that went all the way down to his knee, never smiled. And yet, his wife was 5'3", 5'4". I have one picture at home with the two of them. And yes, to be 7 foot tall, I can't imagine. Because doorways back then were only about 6 foot tall, and I'm sure he's found those like I have over the years. But to be 6'5", the view up here is beautiful. The air's a lot cleaner. I get to see everyone's smiling face. Of the grandkids I have, they're constantly wanting me to pick them up. And they don't worry about my height because they can see now. They're not way down low where they're wondering what's going on. So God has given me a gift of being tall, maybe standing out. I was drafted back in the early 1970s. towards the end of the Vietnam War. I was lucky enough to have a low lottery number of 48. I've never had a number that low in the lottery, but Mary and me had just got married, and I got a letter in the mail that came to my folks, and then we were living in Warrensburg at the time, and one of the elders brought the letter down, and I opened it up after church services, and it said, "Greetings from Uncle Sam." So I knew what that meant, but I went ahead and went, and I appreciate everyone that served their time in the military. It was different. When I got to basic training, they tailored all my clothes. I couldn't fit in regular fatigues, uniforms like everyone else. I was constantly out of step with my size 13 feet. The monkey bars that we trained on were only 6 foot off the ground. So I had to learn to curl my feet up in order to make it. Army beds and cots were only 6 foot long. So either my feet or my head was sticking off when I tried to sleep. I wasn't foxhole material. I couldn't get a hole dug deep enough to cover my 6'5" frame. So I improvised. I would cut branches off of trees. I put limbs around my foxhole to cover me up, and I'm sure it didn't hide me. I did love sports, but I was told not to quit my day job. But I have had fun playing basketball and other things. God has blessed me with the ability to work with my hands, to be able to fix things when they break, to be able to help others and provide for my family. And if God is good, God is good. I told Brother Dan that I was going to pick on him this morning, and I appreciate everyone's lesson. It's been really good. But after Mary and me got married, and I'd gone out of high school, after I graduated, I went to a vocational school, and I learned air conditioning and refrigeration. And Dan may figure out where that's going. We got married in the fall of 71. I went to work down at the college at Warrensburg. Dan, I would go in the same rooms, dorm rooms, and have to see all the things that you saw when you were down there. It was an eye-opening experience. There were my classmates from high school that would be down there, and a lot of times you'd meet them in their dorms or have to go in their room to fix the air conditioner, and the things they would have on the wall, the things they would have sitting around, alcohol, or whatever. It was an eye-opening experience. One of the big things back in college time in the 70s was all the air conditioning was cooled by water. They would have big water coolers on the outside. And instead of being air-cooled, it was water-cooled. Well, the kids got the bright idea, and Dan may remember this, of putting a box of Tide in there. You had a fan blowing over the water, and all of a sudden you have instant soap bubbles coming out that would go all over everywhere. And so our job was to go in, shut everything down, wash it all out, and start all over again. That would go on for several weeks.
I never did that.
Good.
That wasn't me.
It finally got to the point where my boss said one time, he said, okay, we've had enough. We're not getting anything done but cleaning out water coolers. He said, shut them down, leave them off. Let them sweat. So we did. And they did complain. And they said, well, it's not anybody in our dorm that's doing it. It's always somebody else. Always somebody else. So what they did, the young man decided that the incoming freshmen, they would appoint as CT guards. Well, what they did was all weekend long, they would patrol that water cooler and make sure nobody dumped soap in it. And that worked. That worked really good. The last 40 years, I've been able to work and provide for my family. I've been in a lot of homes to repair things. And you get to the point where you can tell when you get in someone's home, is it a happy home? Is it a home that they're providing for their kids? Or are the grandparents raising the kids? I see that a lot all the time. And there's been a few times I've had to work on stuff that, or be around things in the kitchen where it's not very pleasant, the smell. Like maybe they're cooking something that they shouldn't be cooking. It's sad. It's sad. But that is the way today's world is, the world we live in. Nothing is maybe like it was years ago. And our parents probably said the same thing. They worried about us growing up. The things that they were afraid we'd get involved with. The things that would draw us away from church. Can you imagine when Christ chose his disciples? He didn't go looking for men of high authority. A lot of them were fishermen. When he went to get them, they were out fishing. And can you imagine the look on their face when here our Savior comes and I want you to be my disciple. I want you to follow me. Me? And we may feel the same way. How can I have a gift enough to be able to not only help myself and my family, but others in the church? What do I have to offer? I'm 6'5". I can't give you my clothes. They won't fit you. I could loan you my car, Nathan. But God has provided a way for us that we'll find when we study this morning about how we can not only help ourselves, but help everyone else. Help everyone else. And that's what is important. We all come from different walks of life. Some of you may be workers like me. Some of you may be teachers. Some of you may be able to figure out things in their mind on what and how things need to be done. And when we sit down to study God's Word, isn't it wonderful that we can do that in unity and peace when we come together. Everyone is important. Brother Tom Woody in the Gospel Message wrote a quote from General Eisenhower, and that was back in the Gospel Message in August of 1997. I'd like to share with you this morning. General Dwight Eisenhower once rebuked one of his generals for referring to a soldier as just a private. He reminded him that the army could function better without its generals than it could without its foot soldiers. General Eisenhower said, "If this war is won," he said, "it will be won by the privates." And Brother Tom went on to say, "In the same way, the common, ordinary, one-talent Christians are the very backbone of the church." Amen. If the work of the church is to be done, if the gospel is to be taken to the lost, it will be the ordinary Christian who gets the job done. How important are you? How important is your gift? God, in His own way, has shown us how important we are to Him and one another. John 3:16. By sending His own Son to earth and living and dying for us, to have the gift of eternal life. I appreciate Brother Drew's comments this morning at the Lord's table. How in his heart he had the love. He had the gift for us. So how do we go about finding our gift from God to use in His service? We're all different. We all have different talents. I'd rather be sitting down here talking to you one-on-one than up here. Public speaking is just not my thing. Or if you give me a tool, I'm in heaven. I'm ready to go. But I think a lot of times when we pray to God, we don't get the answer we think we should. And we're looking for something else. We aren't patient. We're not patient. A lot of times we get discouraged. We give up. In Proverbs 17 and 8, it says, "A gift is as a precious stone in the eyes of him that hath it, whatsoever it turneth, it prospereth." A precious stone in the eyes of him that hath it. So how do we give good gifts? We're all here this morning that are Christians, have that special gift from God. Why would we want to not use it or give it away? Esau, being the firstborn, had all the blessings that came from being the firstborn, but he gave it all away for a morsel of meat. Judas Iscariot, one of Jesus' chosen apostles, gave his gift away by betraying Christ. In the story of the rich young ruler that came to Jesus in Luke 18:18-27, he asked, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" He had kept all the commandments. He thought he was doing everything right in his own eyes. And what did Jesus tell him? To give away all of his earthly possessions to help the poor. "And thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." Whether he did or not, we don't know. But he went away sorrowful, for he was very rich. I saw a quote the other day that said, life without God is like an unsharpened pencil. It is pointless. It is pointless. So we have God's gift. Now how do we use it? We all can't be leaders, as Paul tells us in Romans, the 12th chapter. There, and I'd like to stop and read that. Romans 12, beginning with verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one member one of another. Having then gifts different according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Our ministry, let us wait on our ministry. Or he that teaches, on teaching. Or he that exhorteth, on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affected one to another with brotherly love. In honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continually instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Paul tells us that God has given each of us the ability to do certain things. We all can't be leaders, but we can all be in God's kingdom. We can all work in different ways. I know, let's look at Brother John Lee. He's not here this morning. But I'm sure that he could tell you, being an evangelist and holding meetings, you got to get the members out. You got to get them to hear. It would be awful for one of our evangelists to hold a meeting at Excelsior Springs, and nobody come. Nobody to hear. Too busy. They put something before God. We need to teach others. If God has given you the ability to serve, then we must serve others. If God has blessed you richly, then help those in need. Love and care for one another. When someone is happy, be happy with them. When someone is sad, console them. These are all gifts that we can have as Christians, as children of God. There's nothing tough about it. There's things that you can do that I can't even begin to do. We work together in unity. Be at peace with one another as much as possible. As we, through faith, obey the Lord in baptism, we are raised a new creature to walk in newness of life. Romans 6 and 4. You know, upon our physical birth, each one of us is given a human spirit. And upon our spiritual birth, we are given the gift of the Holy Spirit. That is the only way we can get it. By trusting in God, accepting Him, and being baptized. And God can give us the gift that we can have with us the rest of our life. A new Christian is then formed in the spiritual image of God. And with this spiritual birth, we look at things different. We have to learn, like a babe does walking and eating and doing simple things as we go on. We have the milk first. And then as we go in our Christian life, we can take on meat and develop. In the same way, a newborn Christian has to go through many changes in order to be Christ-like. In Romans 8 and 29, Paul speaks of being conformed to the image of His Son. You know, the Lord has equipped us with the armor of God. We have His Word right here. We have everything we need. If we only study, if we only put on His armor, we've got everything to protect us. We have that gift. The Holy Spirit guided the apostles into all truth, John 16 and 13. And like I say, it continues to do that today through the Word of God. The Holy Spirit has also given to us as Christians as a gift to dwell within. Romans 8, 9 through 11. As we are led by the Spirit, we can be filled with the fruit of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the understanding, the long-suffering that we find in Galatians, the fifth chapter. But how can we encourage and help each other to use God's gift that we use in our service? 1 Thessalonians 5 and 11, it says, "Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do." You know, I know that Brother Sam, he likes to run. I did that years ago, Sam, and I had enough of it in the military for a lifetime, but There's other in our congregation that they do. They like to run, and that's good. And I like Oreo cookies too, Sam. But I won't tempt you. But you train like Sam does. You train for the distance. And, you know, I could probably start out with him and go a ways, and then that'd be it. My lungs would be hurting, my feet. And I'm sure Sam runs onto this too. Towards the finish line, he wants to quit. But he has trained himself that this is when, you know, you want to finish. You want to finish. And as Christians, if we encourage one another to finish our race here on earth, how important is the gift? How important is that gift? You know, I've been an elder the last 10, 11 years. It hasn't been easy at times. And I've leaned on my other elders for support. But yet, a lot of times, it's not only my elders, you know, it's a member coming up and putting a hand on your shoulder. They don't have to say anything. You get encouragement from that, and it helps. It really helps. Or they say, I'm praying for you. Because they know it's difficult decisions. And a lot of times, there's no easy answer. And a lot of times, it has to do with our loved ones, our families. It's easy being a Christian on Sunday. But what's hard is the rest of the week when we're out alone. And we have all the temptations of the world. And it's so good to see in our daily life our brothers and sisters, whether it's passing on the road or seeing him in the store or whatever. It gives us strength because we know they're going through the same thing sometimes as we are. Christians are to encourage one another. A word of encouragement offered at the right time can be the difference between finishing well and collapsing along the way. I'd love to have that job, but it means moving away from home, from my church. And there's no church in the area. How important is that job? It's awful easy to look at things in life, our physical life, than our spiritual. Is it a good move? Is it something that we really want to do? One of the things over the years I have enjoyed is the fellowship that we have with one another. Renewing of acquaintances. Renewing of our brothers and sisters in Christ. It's so joyful to see before and after service where everyone is getting together, talking, asking about different things in their life. They're not in a hurry to go out the door after service, but they want to wait around, especially the young people. Not only in our congregation, but I'm sure in yours, to where they love being around one another. I kind of worried the last time that the young men stayed at Mary and Mai's house, because I think they were up till 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, laughing. And I almost got up and went in there and laughed with them. Because I couldn't sleep, but I remember those days, though, how joyful it was to get together. These are memories they will have the rest of their life. The rest of their life. And that's good, because we don't worry about them. They're good. They're together with good, wholesome friends. They're there to help support one another. And in their young lives, you and I are established. But they're just getting started. And it's awful easy for them to go down the wrong path. We know. One gift we need to use in order to grow spiritually is prayer. I know it's been brought out several times. We don't pray enough. and I'm guilty of this. James 4 and 8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near unto you. Cleanse your hands and purify your hearts. You know, to pray regularly to God draws us closer to him. And while we may not know exactly what to say, the Holy Spirit makes intercessions for us in our prayers. Romans 8, 26 and 27. We are strengthened with might through the Spirit in the inner man. And finally, Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 4 and 14 to neglect not the gift that is in me. We have a gift in us. Don't neglect it. We may have a talent in us. Don't hide it. Use it. Because Christ is telling us the same thing this morning. To use our gifts to not only help ourselves, but others. We worry a lot of times, especially a young mother, about her children disrupting the service. They learn. The more you bring them, the more they learn. And a cry is good. I love the sound of a cry of a child. Can you imagine going to the service and there'd be dead silence? There's no youth. And I know a lot of congregations struggle with that. That is one of their main concerns. There's who's going to go on and help build the church if the young people aren't there? They're important. Gifts are something that are precious, especially the gift that God has given us. These young people sitting over here and around in the auditorium this morning, they're the future of the church. And I know it's been said that you need to keep them busy. You know, it's easy for me maybe to do the job, but I have to teach them. They have to learn. They'll make mistakes like I did, but that's the only way they're going to learn. And especially in the Lord, they see how important the gift is of being a Christian. There's a song that we sing in our Red Songbook, number 80, and I'd like to read a verse from that song this morning. It's entitled, "The Room in God's Kingdom." There's room in the kingdom of God, my brother, for the small things that you can do. Just a small, kindly deed that will cheer another is the work God has planned for you. There's plenty of work to do. The laborers are few. God needs our help. God needs our help in many ways. The world is, you wonder how wicked the world is going to get in our lives before Christ will come. We are surprised at the things that are going on in the world today. And we worry, just like our parents did some 50, 60 years ago. But what is important to us here this morning, if you haven't received God's gift, don't put it off. Don't wait. Because tomorrow may be too late. We may think we have plenty of time in our lives, but the older we get, the more we see where things happen, where a person's life is cut short. And how blessed and how good it is if that time comes in my life or your life that you're in the Lord. If you haven't taken that step, the congregation here has set this time by to do so. Think on these things as we stand and as we sing the number selected.